Blog Talk Radio.
Our music doesn't seem to be queuing. So welcome to keep waiting to Access Possibilities, the Joy of Learning radio program. Christine DiDomenico is with you, and so is Simone Padour. We're both teachers at the Access Possibilities School. Sorry, that threw me a bit, folks. You know, you're waiting and you're waiting. So today we're looking at building a connection with parents and teachers, a relationship, like something that works. Because I often see, and I know, Christine, you've said the same thing too, is like there isn't often a great relationship between parents and teachers. There's often a lot of confusion. Parents also remember their schooling and they come with all of that. So today we're looking at a few things. We're looking at teachers, like the expectation that you have of parents, and maybe it doesn't match what shows up. And then also you may have parents that don't seem to be interested in their kids' education at all, or you may have a parent who's interested in every aspect. So it's finding what works for you as a teacher and also finding what works for you as a parent. So we're going to talk about that. So I was going to ask you some questions, Christine, just about what you found as a parent when you had kids going through school. What was your experience?
Well, you know, it really did change the way I looked at parents as a teacher after I had kids and had kids going into the schools. Because before I was a parent, what I had been exposed to in my teaching job was teachers fighting against parents. It was the teachers against the parents. It was not a cooperation or, you know, how can we work together? It was more of watch out for those parents as teachers. And then when I became a parent and I had to start meeting with teachers, I saw things from a totally different perspective. And for me, it was being a teacher and being a parent and feeling like the teachers had expectations of me as a parent.
Yeah.
To change my child or change their behavior or and a lot of it was my expectations of me too as a parent and as a teacher. You know, I'll never forget when I had to go in for a parent conference for my son. He was in high school by this time, and I was going, he had an IEP, and so I was going to the meeting to look that over, and I was a PE teacher, and he was failing PE because he wouldn't change his clothes. And I just, you know, was so embarrassed that my child was failing the subject that I taught. And and just feeling the judgment being projected at me by the teachers in the room. And so that was a real eye opener for me.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's amazing how much the judgment is going back and forth between parents and teachers. And when you have judgment locked in place like that, you really can't see what is either.
That is so true. That is really so true. So as a teacher, judging the parent, I can't really see what is really true for that kid or that parent. And as a parent, in judgment of the teacher, you really can't see anything else that's possible. I mean, I remember before I had the tools of access, needing to identify and categorize teachers. And that was a lot of what was going on among parents was mm-hmm. labeling teachers. And especially at the beginning of the year when you've got your child teacher in the mail, and now, you know, there were all these things that you had heard from other people. And so mm-hmm. making decisions based on that, whether this was going to be a good atmosphere for your kid or not. And when you go into it in that way, there's nothing else that can match your judgment. So if you've already decided that this child is not going to be good, this teacher is not going to be good for your child, then that's the experience that you're going to get, because what you project out there, what you expect, is exactly what you get.
Well, and so. it reminds me of a tool that we often use, and it's your point of view creates your reality. And it was really interesting. We were talking in a staff meeting yesterday with one of our other teachers, Sylvia Puentes, and she's teaching math. And she was having a conversation with a middle school girl about math. And she said, you know, when she was a teenager, she hated math too. And her uncle, who I think was either a mathematician or an engineer or something like that, who really loved math, he said, well, what if that's creating more problems for you? Like, what if you just said, I like math? She's like, what do you mean? Like that? But she started trying it out. So she would go, I like math. I like math. And then she started seeing all the places where she did like math. And then it totally turned things around for her. So how have you seen, like, with using the tools of Access with change? Because were your kids still in school when we were doing Access, or?
Yes, they were.
So what did you notice were the differences, like, when you started applying the tools?
Well, I really was able to have a different perspective. It wasn't always me looking at it from the parental point of view anymore. And it really never was looking at it from a parental point of view. Being a teacher, I could look at both sides, but I also had a lot of judgment about teachers because I had a point of view about what good teaching was. So what changed was that I was willing to see that, you know, maybe this isn't the way I would do it,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. It
right.
may be great for my kid or another kid, but just because I don't agree with it or I would do it differently doesn't mean it was wrong. So I didn't have that frame of I had to make something right or wrong anymore.
Yeah. And I don't know if we've mentioned this tool before, but I think maybe we did last week and I guess it's because it's my favorite right now. I'm like repeating it to everybody. So Christine's heard it at least 5 or 6 times, which is there's nothing wrong here. What information do I require? What clarity do I require here? And once you get out of, like we talked about last week, out of the significance about your point of view, your perspective being right and the other person being wrong, then more is possible because you don't have that blinkered vision anymore, which is really, really what that creates. So what did you notice about, like, with your kids, like, performing in school, or, you know, did their way of being at school change when you changed your point of view?
Oh yeah, it changed a lot, and it changed my relationships with my kids too, because I didn't have to, I wasn't held so fast to a result either. So as a parent, I didn't have the expectation that my son, it was my youngest, I guess, at that point, that was still in school. And I didn't have the expectation that he had to pass or he had to do his work. There was more the, you know, this is what the teacher is providing. This is the expectations that they have. And
yeah.
Now it's not on me to make him do that, because that didn't work anyway. And all it did was create conflict in our relationship. So when I came from the place of, okay, he has to deal with what he, the choices that he makes of not doing his work or not going to class or whatever it might be, his choice is going to create something that he has to deal with. I don't, as a parent, have to be the one to change his mind or try to convince him to do something else. And the best advice I ever got was let him fail. And and when I got away from that he had to pass, and that if he didn't, there was something wrong with me as a parent, that changed so much. And and he actually did fail, and then he didn't fail after that, you know, because he saw what his choice created. He had to go to summer school. And he actually had a lot better relationships with the teachers, too, when I got out of the way.
I have a friend who, she's been doing Access for quite a while, but even before she did Access, her eldest son, she just said, look, like, I'm here if you need me, but really, this is your deal. This is your show, when it came to school. And she was so surprised that she started at like 15 or 16. The school was calling her up and saying, oh, did you know, like, your kid is so amazing and he's doing this and he's just won a poetry prize and blah, 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 blah. And the teachers and the principal just adored him. And she really had just kept out of the way the entire time. But he knew that she was there if he required assistance, you know. So to me, that's like a huge...
And was that... Was that something that she changed that wasn't originally her method of operation, and then she stepped back?
No, that was always her method of operation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
So I think some people just have areas where they just do it naturally. It's like when I first started doing Access, there were parts of it where I was like, this is so familiar. Like, I do this in different parts of my life, you know? Like gratitude, for instance, and this is also a great one for teachers and parents alike and kids, everybody, is when you can look at a situation and go, like with Sylvia and the math, like what am I grateful about for this person or for this situation? Once you start being grateful for different parts of it, it starts to unravel and change it. Yeah, it's amazing. And I remember doing that when I was a kid. I used to have a book and I would write down, you know, all the things I was grateful for. And that created more things that I was grateful for. So great tool. Don't use it though. It'll change your life. So let's move on to teachers and expectations of parents. What's been your experience with, you know, like the helicopter, they call them, this is a new term, the helicopter parent, you know, that has to be involved in every part of their kid's life. What's your experience with that?
Well, you know, what I've noticed is that when parents are helicopter parents and they're hovering, they're not really, and they're not allowing their kids choices with that behavior. So kids have a hard time making choices. So when a parent's willing to be more like your friend and allow the kids to run the show, then they learn so many skills. They learn to make mistakes and then look at what that mistake or so-called mistake, I'll say, created in their life and what they might like to choose different. Because what I found is that kids have not been given that ability to make choice. And when they're given choices, they don't know what to choose. I mean, as a teacher, they would ask me questions like, where should I put my sweatshirt? and it's almost as if they don't want to make a choice, because if they make the wrong choice in their eyes, then that's not okay.
Well, I remember teaching elementary school and thinking, I can't remember the word that we used at the time, but that kids didn't have a sense of basically how to choose or be self-directed in any way. And I remember being at school with the kids and going, I don't remember being like this as a kid. Like, I knew how to make choices. But then I had also been given a lot of choice when I was a kid. And one of the examples that came up when you were talking is I used to do after school care. And so we would have kids from grade 2 to grade 5. And there was two little boys. They were both about 8, I believe, 8 or 9. And we were cooking. You know, it was in the community center. There was a little, kitchen, and we would cook with the kids. And we were cutting something up. And one of the kids said, I can't use a knife. And I was like, but you're 8 or 9. Like, it wasn't a very sharp knife, but it was sharp enough to cut what we were cutting. And I said, well, just do it very slowly. And he could not handle a knife at all. And he was dangerous with it because he'd never been given, you know, the experience, you know, of doing it. And so what the parents had actually created was a dangerous situation where a kid that was exactly the same age, who had been given all of those experiences to choose and to play and to, I'm not suggesting that you go out and play with knives, but to not been given that experience, you're actually endangering your kid is what I saw, because they don't have the motor skills. They don't have the experience of how to handle it. What's going to happen when they're 15, you know, they can't even take that. So that too, you're not actually empowering your kid. You're disempowering. And the same goes for teachers. And I know I've been guilty of this, where you can be a hovering or helicopter teacher as well, where you don't want your kids to fail and you don't want them to have a bad experience and you want everything to be fun all the time. And I've experienced this myself. And all of a sudden you've got a kid who doesn't know how to meet deadlines. You have a kid who doesn't know how to finish assignments by themselves, you know? So it was a big learning curve for me, especially as a new teacher, to let kids fail. And it was hard. Like, I remember my senior year kids who were doing their exams. I was in a small school. We had about 10 kids that were signed up for the exam. And by the end of the first term, because they had to hand it in at a certain time, and I even gave them an extension. And I was left with 3 kids by the end of the experience, out of 10.
I was just going to say that I think that today, too, for teachers, there's even more kind of a tendency to do that and to do things for kids with all the pressures of what they have to complete and all the testing and all the curriculum they have to give to these kids. It's almost like, I'm just going to do it for them or make it easier for them, or because I have all of this pressure to get this done. So one of the tools that the teachers and parents can use to ask questions, like if I do this, is this going to create more for the child or less for the child? Is this going to be a contribution to them? We've talked about questions a lot on our shows, and this is one of the main tools we use, is to rather than come to conclusion, whether it's about a teacher or a parent or a kid or something you should or shouldn't do, is to create more awareness around the situation, to ask a question, what will contribute more to this situation? You know, what you could ask, what does the teacher require of me, or what does the parent require of me? So if you have a parent that's, just always on your back about their child, to ask a question like, what does this parent require of me, rather than going into the resistance of, this parent's a pain in the neck, I want to fight back, you know, that just, you're just going to get more fight when you have your resistance up. So if you just kind of put your walls down, put your dukes down, drop the fist, and look at it like, obviously this parent requires something. And what do they require that would create more and create more ease for me as a teacher, or vice versa, asking the same question of what does the teacher require of me? Because it may be that, you know, the teacher requires me to say that I'm doing this, and this at home to try to get my kid to do their work. And I don't necessarily have to be doing it, but the teacher may require to hear that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I also remember a parent saying to me that, you know, there were teachers in the school that, and this is a parent that's been doing access for a long time, that were very judgmental, and there was really nothing you could do, in a sense, to change the situation, to change the way you interacted them. They were just like, you know, there's some people you meet and it's just like hitting a brick wall over and over again. And so she would say to her kid, look, like, okay, so you would like a teacher that works for you. So what energy, space, and consciousness can you be to make that happen? And so she also included her kid in the process. And so there was always teachers available for this kid that worked for her, you know. So you can also do that too. Because, I mean, sometimes there are situations where you just have to, you know, what is it, the definition of insanity? You're doing the same thing over and over again with the same result?
Yes.
So there are some situations where you just have to go, okay, I just have to change this, or I just have to do something different. And there's lots of situations where you can change it. I had something vital to say.
Well, what came
choice.
Up when...
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Choice. No, I was going to say that what came up when you were talking was that when you empower your child to ask those questions, you take them out of being the victim. So often I hear, oh, my child is not doing well because of the teacher. He or she has a bad teacher. And so they're in the victim role. And when you empower your child to ask questions to create something that would actually benefit them, you take them out of the victim role.
Exactly. Yeah, and giving them choice is a great way to do that. I remember, and again, this is way before access, so this isn't like new stuff. The great thing that Mr. Gary Douglas is he's taken tools that you know that are familiar to you, as well as a whole bunch of new ones that you've never known before. And like choice, you know, that's a tool that people have used, but not maybe as consistently as we do with access consciousness. And so this woman that I knew, she was heavily involved in a ministry Christian group. And she said, I had a minister once say to me, the greatest gift you can give your children is choice. And he said to her, choice in what they wear, choice in what activities they do, choice, as much choice as you could possibly match and manage. And she said, it changed the way I was going to parent, because she was a brand new mom. And she said, my boys are just so self-confident and so willing to just try things out and choose and do new things. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And when I first heard that, I was like, I would like more of that. So when access showed up, I was like, oh, here it is. So choice,
cool.
People, try it out. like today, for instance, and I'll hurry up because I know we're racing towards the end of time here. I had a science class, and I could have just been like, okay, this is what we're doing, guys. But I went in with a few ideas, and I had said to them ahead of time, look, what are we going to do next? And they're like, oh, well, I don't know. I was like, okay, well, you know, and I was willing to be vulnerable and just go, okay, just going to let it happen. And it was hard. It was uncomfortable. And it was one of the most magical lessons. They were so excited. they were coming up with all kinds of different ideas. And, well, what would you like to experiment? Well, maybe I'd like to do this, and maybe I'd like to do that. And because they were choosing something that they was exciting for them, for one thing, they were so much happier to be, to have the direction of the class. And that was
and,
fun.
And that's a change for the kid too. They didn't come in that way, making those choices. And because I know that you would ask them that question in the past and they'd just look at you. And now they are much more willing to choose, actually, because, you know, you don't tend to be asked to contribute to how the lesson's going or what the lesson is in most schools. So.
And then you're often made wrong when you do make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's truth.
So they've, yeah, they've changed a heap. So, yeah. So what's our topic for next week, Christine? Do you know?
Yes, our topic. Actually, next week we have a guest. We have our executive director, and Maxwell is going to join Simone for our show next week to talk about kids who have been traumatized. And Anne is a child and play therapist, and she's had 25 or more years experience working with kids and working with families with trauma and in all different situations, but she has especially a lot of experience with trauma. So we're excited that she's going to join us next week.
Well, and she has a great book too. I'm just trying to read it on my bookshelf. Would you teach a fish to climb a tree? Which she co-authored with Gary Douglas, and I'm not sure if Dane was involved too, but which I can only read for short periods of time because it makes me cry. there's some really moving stories in there, and it's really packed with information. It's really good.
It's a great book with lots and lots of tools.
Yeah. So if you would like to know more about the Access Possibilities School, you can go to accesspossibilitiesschool.com. You can also go to accessconsciousness.com and find out more about Access if you're maybe not a parent or a teacher and you're like, what's this Access stuff they keep talking about? So that's something else that you can look at. We also have a newsletter that goes out every month that's got great tips and tools and videos and kinds of goodies if you want to look at that. So, and we also have a Facebook page, which is Access Possibilities School on Facebook, and we have all kinds of posts and things like that and events coming up. Ben Kapp, do you want to say a bit about that? Because you've been a bit more involved in that, haven't you, Christine?
Yeah, we have a year-long series called Ben Kapp Talks, which is about benevolent capitalism and how we all can contribute to each other and whatever our business is, whether our business is I'm an accountant and that's my business, or my business is I'm a stay-at-home mom, that's my business, and how we can all contribute to each other and to the planet through benevolent capitalism. And that's one of our extracurricular classes for adults that we offer at the Access Possibilities School. We have extracurricular activities for adults. We have extracurricular activities for kids. We have tutoring. We have students who come to us full-time, K through 8, and soon to be adding high school. And we also have students that come part-time, K through 8 right now, and high school soon. So all of that information, and get that newsletter, you can find all that information on our website, accesspossibilitiesschool.com.
And
also,
go ahead.
we welcome questions for our future radio shows. So if you have a question that has anything to do with parents, teachers, kids, or education, you can send questions to questionschool.com.
Yep.
Absolutely. Or you can come live with us and ask a question live.
That would be great, too. Also, if you're looking for tools for your kids, Christine's done these amazing products. One's for reading and the other one's for math.
And writing.
Okay. And the cool thing is you can, it works on you. It works on your kids. If you have no point of view about it working, even better. And you can just play it in the background and just see what shows up. Play with it. See what happens, literally. And it's what's amazing about these tools is it just starts to unwind. So if you want a taste, that would be a good taster. So thanks again, Christine. It was great to have your perspective on the parenting and the teaching. And
thank you, Simone.
You're very welcome. All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.